listening to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Not Takes Fantasy Football Podcast. We're coming at you while there's actual football being played. What do you think about that,
Dan? The season has started. My word.
Yeah.
Boy, is it exciting.
It's finally here. Yeah, I was watching a little bit of it, and even though it was like third stringers for the most part, when I was watching, I was like, it just feels great that there's actual football to be played right now.
Yeah, it feels pretty great to have football going on. This is what it is. I mean, this is the time. This is when you should start starting to do your main draft review and all that stuff. I mean, it's getting to be the point where you're already kind of you might have an idea already where your draft position is, and you're starting to maybe feel out where you're thinking, who's going to follow you and stuff like that. Which is why we're getting right into a mock today, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this was the perfect time because, you get the first football game with a Hall of Fame game, and you're right around the corner from draft season. So, yeah, we wanted to do another mock. We've been trying to do one, like, one every month, and we'll probably be a little more frequent as we get into the mock draft season. And obviously, we're going to record our live draft here in a couple weeks. But, yeah, we thought this was a good time to do a mock draft, especially because there's a lot of player news that's come out too, that while, you know, it's just you and I drafting, so some of the draft picks may not reflect possible fear of news that we're going to cover, but it is a good time to really pulse check and see where those player trends are. And I know we were doing some drafts earlier, just me and you, and mocking and getting ready. So I think it was a good time to do one for the podcast here.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, it's bad right now just because there's a lot of player news, but unfortunately for us, it's a lot of players on our dynasty team getting injured right now.
Yep,
which is disappointing, but. Everyone's getting right into it, and it's getting exciting. You're starting to see some rookies emerge and things like that. So it's a great time to be paying attention to the league and, you know, getting your fantasy feet wet a little bit, Bobby.
Yeah. So today we're going to do a half point PPR or half PPR. I know some people say, why say half point when it's point per reception, but half PPR. We're going to do 12 team. We're going to randomize our draft order, and we'll discuss our picks as we're making them, our thought process. But before we do that, Dan, there is a ton of news that happened since the last time we recorded, so I'm going to go ahead and get right into it.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest one. I mean, there's your good, and then there's your type of news, and this is the biggest piece of news. Originally, so this changed three different times. Adam Schefter report AJ Green will likely be sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks. There was hope for a 4 week. He had to get an MRI, and there was some concern about that. Well, it was found out that when he went in for minor ankle surgery, while it necessarily didn't change his recovery time, it looks like he could miss multiple games. So, Dan, I know we have to prepare for that. The rumor is it's probably going to be up through week three, which is not the worst case scenario. So if something like this was to happen, at least it's happening at the beginning of preseason.
Right.
But, Dan, my question is for you. If you're drafting today, and I put this in a Twitter poll, so I'm going to go over the listener poll results. Where are you comfortable drafting AJ Green if you had to draft today?
If it's before the injury, he's going in the second or third round. I've seen him that early. I've seen him as early as the second, definitely in the third. He's a top-tier talent, and those wideouts, while I think the position is super deep this year, I think the elite ones like AJ Green, which I still think he's elite,
me too,
falls into that category. But with the injuries, you know, you're going to miss three games. So I wouldn't be waiting much longer than maybe the fourth or fifth. And I'd be surprised if he even gets to the fifth, I'd be surprised. I'd say fourth or fifth, because I still think three games into the season, you're missing him, but I think it's not devastating to your fantasy season. So, and then when he comes back, if he's even close to what you know you can get from him, you're in good shape, because in those first four picks, you're usually setting yourself up with an elite running back or two, or at least an elite and an elite wide receiver or two. So you're really looking at maybe AJ Green coming in and being your third wide receiver in the fifth round. That's pretty good. That's pretty good right there.
Yeah, you sort of stole my thunder there. He's like probably one of the best wide receiver threes when healthy that you could even consider. So, Dan, here's what I put out there. Same question. With him set to miss 6 to 8 weeks, where are you comfortable drafting him at today? We had 779 votes. My choices were rounds 3 to 4, rounds 5 through 6, rounds 7 through 8, or not doing it. What do you think won in that pool?
I'm going to say, can I get him back again? Sorry.
Rounds 3 through 4, rounds 5 through 6, rounds 7 through 8, or not doing it?
3 through 6.
So 3 through 4 or
3 through 4. Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
3 through 4.
So actually rounds 5 through 6 won with 36%, rounds 7 through 8 with 30%, not doing it 22%, and round 3 through 4 actually only got 12%. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, I'd say, I'd still be looking at him in the fifth round. I think that's probably my comfort zone. So I think I would have went with the majority, but just curious, obviously there's a lot of, thought process out there. So I'm surprised not doing it got as much as it did. So, obviously, like I said, prepare for him to miss, at least a game or two. Sounds more like three, but yeah, if you can't navigate the waters through 3 weeks, whether it be through the draft or through free agency, you might want to do a little more research. So,
And I think it's just like when we had Tyreek Hill, it's going to get to a point where if he's sitting there, you have to take him. Like, it's a crime not to take him. Like, it gets like almost outrageous to a point if he's still sitting there in the sixth or seventh round that he's not been picked because he's missing the first three games. I mean, if he gets down to the sixth or seventh round, I mean, that's a bargain. That's a bargain right there. You're getting one of the best wide receivers in the league, where if he hadn't been injured, he's going in the second or third round in drafts, up until that point. So, right. I mean, it's going to get to a point where it's crazy not to draft him, just like it was with Tyreek Hill.
Right. So, yeah, speaking of that, Tyreek Hill suffered a bruised quad during Tuesday's practice, so we got nervous there for a while, but sounds like nothing major, so... does he really need to be out there all the time? No. So he should be ready to go week one. So I don't even really think there's much to talk about there, but I know it was nerve-wracking there for a minute because you saw pictures of him on the cart.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things is that apparently anyone who's on our dynasty roster is going to come down with some kind of injury in the preseason. That's what it felt like to me.
We'll get to more here shortly when we get to the running back. So now getting to some good news with the wide receivers, the Saints signed Michael Thomas to a 5-year, $100 million extension through 2024 with $61 million guaranteed, $20 million per year. Through three seasons, he's averaged 107 catches, 1,262 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Turns 26, his career catch percentage is 77%. Everything about what he's done says he deserves it, so good on Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, we said this from the very beginning, pay the man. I mean, he deserves it. He absolutely deserves it. I mean, he showed last season how elite he was. It was one of those to me, it's not a hard decision to pay this guy. Frankly, it's you have to pay him. And I mean, there's no one else in the league, not many in the league, that are as good as he is. So,
and to me, he's one of the safest swing picks at the end of the first turn of the second there.
Absolutely.
So somebody to keep your eye on, and somebody we'll keep our eye on when we're making our mock draft picks here later on. And another one, Dan, just because when we do next week our sleepers, breakout, and bust episodes, this guy to me is the ultimate sleeper for where he's being drafted. NJ.com's Mike K reports Carson Wentz to DeSean Jackson connection has been automatic early in camp practices. Wentz has been dropping bombs into the bucket, who routinely roasted Eagles corners. I'm getting pieces of DeSean Jackson in every draft, regardless if it's best ball, startup dynasty, redraft. I've got pieces of him everywhere. So little sneak peek, he's going to show up in the sleepers, breakout, and bust category when we do that next week for me.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who didn't think that DeSean had very much left in the tank. But I thought he was great last year in Tampa Bay. And now that he's back home, essentially, in Philadelphia with a darn good quarterback, he's a real bargain late in rounds, because I think he's someone who's perfectly – like he's a perfect flex play.
Right.
He's high. There's high, you know, a high ceiling for him in terms of points he can score. You know, really only takes one play to kind of make your entire day from that flex position. And let's be honest, let's not sleep on him as maybe even a more of a, you know, weapon than just down the field there, because right. We've talked about this before. There's no one there in that Philadelphia receiving core that really kind of lights up my eyes when I look at the roster. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey's had some nice games here and there. You know, Sacre Whiteside is kind of a nice name that's being tossed around a lot this year. But DeSean Jackson is a veteran at this point. But also, I feel like if you can air it out for him, he also has that, you know, yak ability where he can get a lot of yards after the catch. So, I mean, don't be surprised on this guy. I think if he's just kind of he is a good sleeper, Bob. And I think there's more there than just a flex play, as we're kind of seeing the preseason play out this year.
Yeah, totally agree. So yeah, Dan, now it's time to get into the running backs. And unfortunately, this is where the news really just stays consistently not so good. And we're gonna start with Melvin Gordon, who basically, as of today, has requested that the Chargers trade him. It seems like the Chargers are staying pretty much at the $10 million per season initial offer. And Melvin Gordon wants to be paid like a top back. That would put him $3 to $4 million behind Gurley, Bell, Johnson. And it doesn't look like the Chargers are moving off that. So, boy, this is starting to really reek like a Le'Veon Bell situation from last year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think this is just basically how this is going to go for these elite backs this year now? I mean, every offseason where, you know, you're not happy with the deal, so I'm just going to pull the Le'Veon Bell move and just hold out and, you know, save the tread on the tires, not go about there and, you know, run, you know, 500 times to try to earn my next contract. I'll just wait it out. And, you know, that's what Le'Veon Bell did. And I think guys like Melvin Gordon and Zeke saw that and said, you know what, we're the ones who are in the driver's seat here. We're the ones who have the years of our career that we need to worry about. So, you know, if it boils down to I don't play a season and I miss out on a couple million dollars, what's the big deal? Because I feel like I can earn it back later. I just think maybe this is the way this is going to go for those elite backs these days, Bob. What do you think?
Right. I'm starting to agree with that. And I know people out there will say, well, it's not Le'Veon Bell's situation. But to me, he laid the groundwork for how to handle your business. Because really, if you think about it, running backs maybe have one really massive contract if they're elite.
Yeah.
They might be able to get two out of it. And obviously, if they're a high draft pick, you know, they're probably going to get higher than normal salaries. But in comparison, not anything
to receivers and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
no,
I have a feeling, yeah, this could be the norm. And, you know, if they're getting paid like Le'Veon Bell got paid, and to me, Melvin Gordon is right around the type of performer that Le'Veon Bell is. So while the Chargers don't have any incentive to trade him, I completely get it. But I have a feeling like, boy, I don't know how I feel going into drafts with him right now.
Yeah.
I
mean, in terms of fantasy drafts, this is like a nightmare scenario for us as fantasy football players, because you are instantly questioning, for example, in our league of record, I'm the number 3 pick, and everyone is pretty much reloading this year. in terms of, you know, lots of big backs are getting put back into the kitty. So guys like Kamara, McCaffrey, and Zeke are available again. So as the number one, number two pick, I'm saying, all right, great. I get at least one of those guys. Now if Zeke holds out, Zeke is done. I mean, I'm not wasting the number three pick on a guy who's going to potentially sit out the season. I learned that last year with Le'Veon Bell. So maybe it's a situation where I consider taking Le'Veon Bell at that position. I'm not sure at this point, but there's too much risk involved with these guys now. And you know, Melvin Gordon, first round pick, usually tail
fifth,
end first
fifth
round
or
pick.
Sixth pick. Yeah, I mean,
right. Middle to the tail end of the picks he goes. But now it will be interesting to see where people will wait to see. I mean, obviously, we're early in the preseason, so a lot can happen. But where people are willing to take the risk to see whether he'll even come back and play.
Right.
And where are you taking someone like Austin Eckler or Justin Jackson at this point?
Too? Moving them up. Eckler, 8, 9, 10 range, and Justin Jackson not far behind that, really. Because, I mean, it should be a total committee type approach there, but both of them look good when they had the opportunity, so.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and it looks like another bullet dodge here for our dynasty team. Derrick Henry is dealing with a strained calf. He was in a walking boot over the past weekend, but barring any setbacks, he should be 100%. So, there's no need for them to even work him in. They saw what he did in the last six games of the season. Just get healthy.
I was going to say, just take it easy on them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessary for you to work him out or do anything like that. Let's just take it easy. You know, let him come back. Selfishly, I don't want him to get hurt because, you know, it seems like our whole fantasy dynasty team is the walking wounded at this point. But I'm sure he'll be fine. It's weird to see this many preseason injuries already, though.
Yeah, that's not good, that's for sure. So, yeah, you brought him up earlier, Zeke Elliott. I mean, we know he's in Mexico right now, but Jerry Jones came out and said you don't have to have a rushing champion to win the Super Bowl, but they need everything they can get from Zeke Elliott to be competitive because he's basically the catalyst to their entire offense.
I was just kidding. Really? Fine, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the war of words just seems unnecessary to me, but fine. You're telling me you don't need a rushing champ. Okay, great. Maybe you don't need the rushing champ, but you need an elite running back. You need Ezekiel Elliott because the whole focal point of your offense the entire year last year was Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
And you're not going to tell me that you're going to be able to have somebody walk in there and replace those touches, that weapon. And if you expect it to be Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper, I'm going to say I really don't think that that's the answer. I think, in fact, you need all three of those guys to be on the field to be your most effective offensive unit. So, and I don't understand why you're not willing just to I don't know. I always one of those guys that says just pay him. And, you know, pay him what he's worth. Pay him what he's worth. Michael Thomas was the highest paid wide receiver in the league. He showed you why last year. Zeke was the best running back in the league. He showed you why last year. You know, Melvin Gordon has had some injury concerns, and I guess Zeke has had some off the field issues as well. So maybe that's what's driving them. But I mean, at the same time, let's be honest here. Let's just pay these guys what they're worth and let's move on with the offseason here.
Yeah, we should know August 6th because I think he has to be back by that date to get his, I guess, service time to make him become a free agent earlier. So
we'll
know in a couple days here with him. And then there's two more player news. One quarterback related. Colts coach Frank Reich said Andrew Luck with his calf is not ready to take the next step in his recovery. This has been going on for a couple months now. And Luck said it's not improved pain-wise. It's going on 3 months. I don't know what to make of this, but, you know, he was around my second or third quarterback. Probably not this, if this keeps going on, but something right to keep in mind. I mean, we normally wait on quarterbacks, but if he falls long enough, you know, could be somebody I'm looking at, but just be wary because that's going to affect every single offensive weapon as we saw a few years back. So,
It's a big downtick for everybody on that team. And it really takes away all of the kind of hope you had for guys like Paris Campbell to step up and have, you know, big seasons as rookies and stuff like that. It's just not the same team with Andrew Luck not at the helm. And guys like T.Y. take a downtick, where I also think Marlon Mack probably takes an uptick, frankly, because if Luck's not there, I think they have to try to control it a little bit more with the running game.
Yep, and the last one's tight ends news, and this is a good piece of news. The Athletic's Jeff Zrebiak, if I'm saying that right, reports second-year tight end Mark Andrews has been the Ravens' most dangerous and productive offensive player at training camp. He looked really good, especially when Lamar Jackson became the quarterback in the second half of the season. This is a guy, I'll be honest, as I started my prep getting ready for this year, didn't really have in my view, but now he's one of those guys, if I'm waiting on tight end, that I'm targeting.
Yeah, he's a guy, I know when we're mocking it out a little bit, Bob, that you seem to be grabbing more often than not. I think we're all kind of looking for somebody to become the next big tight end. I mean, we've got Kelsey, we've got, you know, Ertz, and
Kittle.
We've got Kittle.
Yeah,
and that's about it. I mean, there's not really anybody else out there now that Gronk's gone. It's a position that's wide open. I mean, you would think that with the younger quarterback, they're looking towards that younger tight end, you know, as the safety valve pretty often and things like that. So I think there is a chance for Andrews to kind of explode this year. But I'm also going to temper my expectations a little bit and just kind of see how the offseason plays out. Right. But I mean, there's plenty of room for growth. So, you know, guys like Hockenson and like that, I mean, a lot of people are kind of taking those guys as the heir apparents in the tight end fantasy. But I think Mark Andrews so far this year has kind of been the talk of the town down in Baltimore and just generally for fantasy tight ends in general.
Right on. So, yeah, that was a lot of player news, but a lot of it's going to start breaking here as we're in training.
Yeah, camp. The offseason's off and running here, Bobby.
Yep, so now that we are in football season, Dan, I think it's time to do a mock draft. So you ready to mock?
Let's get drafty.
If you've listened to the Not Takes Fantasy Football podcast before, you know just how much we love the draft app. We continually do best ball drafts throughout the year, and during the season, we have a weekly segment called Getting Drafty on Draft that drops every Thursday. Now we are proud to announce our affiliation with the best fantasy app out there. We would greatly appreciate if you would support our show by using our new link, draft.com/nottakes. For those of you that don't already have a FanDuel or Draft account, signing up to Draft using that link gets you a free $3 entry to any contest of your choice after your initial deposit. We personally recommend a season-long best ball draft, and trust us, when you start, you're gonna be hooked. Once you get your account situated, come challenge myself or Dan on Draft. You can find me, Bob, on Draft at NotTakesBob. That's NotTakesBob. And you can find Dan at DJBenoit33. That's DJBenwa33. Once again, our link is draft.com/NotTakes. That's NotTakes. We can't wait to see you all get drafty on Draft with us.
Time. Two. Mock. What did you say?
Yes, it is time to get into a mock draft. And if you've listened to us before during our mock draft episodes, you know we do it on the best drafting app out there and really the best fantasy football app out there, the Sleeper app. We love this. We will mock draft probably 30 times before our League of Record draft.
Yep.
Some of the good things about it, once again, fully customizable. And the one thing we like for our League of Record is we do round-based keepers. I can instantly put those into the spot, so there is no confusion or like we used to do it a few years back. Everybody would always take somebody's keeper and you'd have to go, look, he's not available. So takes all that guesswork out of it for me as the commissioner. So,
yep. It makes things so much easier for you and so much easier to do your mocks too, because if you know who your keepers are, you know, ahead of time, you can insert all those and those keepers are off the board and you can really kind of format your draft strategy from where you're drafting from. It's a huge help. And you know, something that you and I do, you know, a couple times a day, frankly.
Right. So what we're going to do is a 12-team half point or half PPR mock draft. It's quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bench spots. We randomize the order here, and luckily I've got the number one pick while Dan is smack dab in the middle pretty much at number 7. So
yeah,
not always the best, but we'll see, Dan. Let's go ahead and I am going to begin the draft here. So, obviously, my key targets are one of the four elite running backs. And while Saquon is the projected number one, after what I saw last year, I don't care if they're trying to limit his plays. I don't think they're limiting his touches. I've got to go with Christian McCaffrey because I don't think I'm going to be able to get a piece of him outside of our Dynasty League where we already have him on our team. So, I'm going Christian McCaffrey number one. And leading up to Dan's pick, we've got Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott. That seems to be status quo. At 5 was DeAndre Hopkins, 6 David Johnson, and 7. Dan, you're at that point where the elite of the running backs are gone. This might be where Melvin Gordon could have been taken. But now, with him out of the equation, what is your mindset? There's all the elite wide receivers outside of Hopkins. Where are you thinking right now?
I like Le'Veon Bell there. I do think he'll bounce back a little bit. But I also like Devontae Adams. And so I'm actually going to mix it up a little bit, and I'll go Devontae Adams right there.
Yeah, I mean, the number one for Aaron Rodgers is pretty much guaranteed 12 to 13 as a minimum in the touchdown department. As we saw last year, he was probably the most consistent wide receiver in fantasy. I think his worst game, if I remember correctly, without a touchdown was 8 for 81. So after Devontae did go Le'Veon Bell, followed by Joe Mixon, Julio Jones, James Conner, and Michael Thomas to close out the first. Starting the second was Todd Gurley, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Dalvin Cook, and Juju. So, Dan, you're back up on the clock. Who are you looking at right now? You got some good wide receiver options still.
Yep, still got a lot of receiver options. See, right there is Melvin Gordon sitting sitting pretty, but you know what? I'm going to mix it up a little bit still, and I'm going to go two elite wide receivers back-to-back, and I like, you know, this guy going into a new situation. I'm feeling dangerous, so I'm going Odell Beckham.
That way, Baker, Dan. So after Odell went Nick Chubb, Melvin Gordon, Damian Williams, AB, Mike Evans, and now I'm back up in the last pick of the second round. And let's sort of scroll through here. So I was hoping somebody like AB or Mike Evans would make it back. As much as I like Mahomes, I'm not taking him, even though he's top of the queue. Boy, oh boy. I was really hoping for AB or Mike Evans to come back to me.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that a lot of those elite wide receivers, especially when you're in a 12-team league, are not going to make it through the first two rounds when you get the number one pick. So you've got to be comfortable taking somebody like Keenan Allen or T.Y. Hilton as your number one. But another guy who I would be comfortable taking, frankly, is maybe even Amari Cooper.
Yeah, so you named the two players I was going in between, was Keenan Allen and T.Y. Hilton. Obviously, we saw the upside Cooper had, but I'm still worried that he's a roller coaster ride.
Right.
I think because I've got a ton of catches, I'm going to pair a wide receiver that's also going to catch a ton of passes, and I'm going to go Keenan Allen. And a player that I'm rising on, as far as the running backs are concerned, they just got rid of Theo Riddick in Detroit. He's never going to make it back to me. I'm going to go Kerryon Johnson here as my first pick of the third round. And after Kerryon, Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry, Pat Mahomes, T.Y. Hilton, Adam Thielen, and Dan, you're on the clock with Devontae Adams and Odell Beckham.
Interesting. Well, I have to get a running back at this point. I mean, there are interesting wide receiver options there. Zach Ertz still on the board.
You talked about him.
I talked about that. But you know what? Frankly, I don't see a lot of these guys making it back to me. And I like to try to have a stud at every position. I'm torn between two guys here, and you know what? I'm not riding that roller coaster again, even if it's not a team I'm going to own. I'm going to go Devonta Freeman right here.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the players. When I did the 4th of July episode, players set to explode, he was my running back selection. So if healthy, this guy's a guaranteed top 10 running back. Oh, and Dan, it looks like the Falcons are willing to make Julio Jones the highest paid wide receiver. That was something I forgot to mention during the Mike Thomas scenario. Julio's just sitting back going, oh, I can't wait till it's my turn. So,
yeah. Oh, so I was kind of hoping maybe out of nowhere, Zach Ertz would make it back to me.
Just missed.
And he just got, you know, nabbed in the round right before me. I'm very happy with my wide receivers. I need another running back.
Hey, Dan, can I ask you? So,
sure.
Real quick recap. After Freeman, your pick went Fournette, Mack, Kittle, Montgomery, Amari Cooper, A.J. Green, Ingram, Diggs, Jacobs, Ertz. Do you think Kittle should be going that far ahead of Ertz? I mean, or at least one round?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
But
no, I think it would have made a lot more sense to me to see Kittle go right where Ertz went and have those two spots flipped. I just like Ertz so much better because I think he really is the number one receiver in, you know, Philadelphia, frankly. I've got Philip Lindsay, I've got Carson, I've got Sony Michelle, and those are really the only guys I'm really kind of mildly interested in. I'm not very interested in Philip. But
yeah, and the Broncos did sign Theo Riddick too, so any pass catching duties is probably going to get siphoned to him a little bit.
And they're talking about how they want it to be a real timeshare between him and Royce Freeman. So I'll go with the underrated Chris Carson here.
Yeah,
I know he'll get
still
carries.
Sleeping on him. Yeah.
Yep.
So after Carson went Julian Edelman, Andrew Luck, Brandon Cooks, Philip Lindsay, Robert Woods. So I'm up as the last pick in the 4th round. And probably one of the most hyped wide receivers so far in the preseason / offseason. I'm going to go with Chris Godwin as my second pass catching wide receiver option. So I should, in theory, have a ton of receptions between Allen and Godwin if he lives up to Bruce Arians' label here. And I'm not really enamored with many of the running backs that are still on the board. As far as Sony Michelle, Kenyon Drake, sounds like there's a timeshare waiting to happen. Tevin Coleman, I think after we talked about him last week, I'm starting to rise on him, but I still think I can get away with avoiding him. I normally wait on tight ends, but with all of the injuries that are going on in New York, this is another player that I have set to explode based on the 2019 player set to explode episode I did around the 4th of July. I'm going to take Evan Ingram because I feel like anymore I'm not getting him based on drafting later in the first round. I feel like I'm going to take him to eliminate the tight end need as of right now. So after him went Sony Michelle, Tyler Lockett, Calvin Ridley, Cooper Kupp, Kenny Golladay, and Dan, you're up with the 7th pick in the 5th round.
So I, too, am not necessarily thrilled with I'm going to wait on tight end. O.J. Howard's there. That intrigues me.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm going to wait a little bit. You know what? I kind of like I'm torn between I don't think this guy makes it back to me, and I like him this year. I'm rising on him. Someone asked me what my favorite sleeper of the year is so far, and I think it's going to be this guy. I'm going to grab Tevin Coleman here.
Yeah, you seem to be rising on him based on the conversations from last week. After Coleman went Jarvis Landry, Mike Williams, James White, Deshaun Watson, DJ Moore to close out the 5th. Starting the 6th, Kenyon Drake, Alshon Jeffrey, Lamar Miller, Tariq Cohen, Aaron Rodgers. So, Dan, you're back up. You've got two wide receivers, three running backs. I'm assuming you're probably looking running back, but are you happy now not taking O.J. Howard knowing that he made it back to you?
Yeah, I am, actually. Because I think this is the best part about drafting and doing mocks on Sleeper. It's just kind of testing out to see, is there a chance? I mean, obviously, it's a lot different if when there's real people there and there's a real thought process going into it. But it's nice to see, hey, if I wait, is there a chance he makes it back to me? If he doesn't, great. But let's see what the teams looks like if I go running back. But frankly, there's no one. I think I'll be able to grab somebody who intrigues me on the way back through, and I'm going to round out my receivers here and get Tyler Boyd as my number three. I like that trio. You know, he's going to be the go-to guy for at least the first 3 weeks of the season. And pairing him with Devontae Adams, Odell Beckham Jr., I should be able to make up for any, like, you know, subpar running back play from either Carson or Tevin Coleman. I'm confident Freeman kind of has a bounce back season this year, though.
Right. And after Boyd went Rashad Penny, and then a run on tight ends, O.J. Howard,
on tight end. Yeah.
Eric Ebron, Hunter Henry, and then Robbie Anderson, who I was hoping would make it to me at the end of the sixth. So I'm up. I've got two wide receivers, two running backs, and a tight end. I'm going to take a flyer on a guy who I think should have a bounce back year. He showed it the 1 year in Jacksonville, although that was a lot of playing from behind. But as a third wide receiver, I'm okay taking a look at Allen Robinson in the end of the sixth there as my third wide receiver. And back to me. Started the seventh. Boy, I really want to take running back, but nothing's really standing out too much to me. And we do start three wide receivers with the ability to flex. So I think I'm going to hold off on running backs. I like McCaffrey. I like Kerryon Johnson a lot. So I think I can hold off another round. And I think I'll take a flyer on... I was looking at Dante Pettis... Boy, this is like a real dead zone right now. I'm not like enthused with really anybody. The more I keep like leaning towards somebody, I sort of want to back away a little bit. You know what? I think I've got a lot of pass catching in Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin. I'm going to take a guy that went healthy as a touchdown machine, and that's Will Fuller. So I'm going to take him as my first pick of the seventh round. And then after that's Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield, the aforementioned Dante Pettis, Latavius Murray, Christian Kirk, and Dan, you're up middle of the seventh with the seventh pick.
Yeah, I was hoping this guy would make its way back around to me. And I'm grabbing Jordan Howard here. This is a guy who, everything you're hearing out of camp and things like that, is he's dominating the backfield. He's the odds-on favorite to, you know, lead the team in carries. And I think he's got something to kind of make up for last year. I think a lot of people kind of thought he was outshined by Tarik Cohen, and then they kind of just let him walk. He had a great year the year before. I know I drafted him in the second round last year because I expected such big things out of him. I think he kind of had a chip on his shoulder to bounce back. Plus, I like having like kind of a plethora of running backs to kind of plug and play with. You know, I think I've got a good one in Devonta Freeman, but you know, with that second level, Penny's knocking on the door. Tevin Coleman could be in the timeshare. So could Jordan Howard, but I feel like week to week I'll be able to kind of zone in and get a legit number two in the mix there. And let's see, I feel like if I wait much longer on tight end, I might.
Yeah, so as you're thinking, after Jordan Howard went Darius Geis, Jared Cook, Daryl Henderson, Geronimo Allison, Vance McDonald. Start of the eighth, Drew Brees, Sterling Shepard, Kyler Murray, Sammy Watkins, Marvin Jones.
I was frankly thinking Jared Cook or Vance McDonald would make it back to me, because in the mocks we had been doing, they've been making it clear into the ninth round. There's some receivers I like, but no one I want to necessarily bite on this early. I think I'm good for running back for a little bit, although Ronald Jones is there. That'd be a nice grab. And I think I'll wait one more round on tight end just to see who shakes out. Let's see, quarterback. Ooh. You know what? I don't think that either of these guys make it back to me. And I like him. So I'm going to go with your little sleeper, Bobby. And I'm going to grab Carson Wentz right here, actually.
Carson Wentz, Miles Sanders, Ronald Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, N'Keal Harry, Kareem Hunt, and I talked about him earlier. I'm okay taking Austin Ekeler right now based on the fact that it looks like there's a standstill. So I'm going to take him as the last pick of the eighth round. And boy. I mean, this is my ultra target at quarterback. I'm going to take Cam Newton to start the ninth round. I just think
he always seems to fall to you.
Yeah, I mean, if healthy, he's a top five quarterback. I mean, it's just a no-brainer.
So I'm glad I did that because Wentz would not have made it back to me. Cam wouldn't have made it back to me. Russell Wilson went. But, you know, the other thing is that if you wait, there's still quarterbacks there that I could live with, namely Ben Roethlisberger and Dak. And Mitchell Trubisky's there. So, again, I think you can wait. And one of those guys you also, I think, can grab later in drafts. Ooh, I like this pick is usually my if he's there, this is usually a guy I grab in the ninth round just because I like shoring up the backfield. And I'm going to grab AP right here.
Yeah, you know what? I thought about him, but when I saw Cam Newton, I was worried that he definitely would not make it back. So, I mean, I just don't believe in Darius Geis until I see him on the field. So I'm totally cool with that pick. So let me just read the pick, Stan, since you're back up in the 10th. After Cam, sure, went David Njoku, Royce Freeman, Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson, Corey Davis, Jared Goff, Peyton Barber, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and D.D. Westbrook to close out the ninth. Start of the 10th, we had Damian Harris, D.K. Metcalf, Golden Tate, Curtis Samuel, Phillip Rivers, and Dan, you are back up.
Yeah. I need another receiver because I've only got three, so I'm probably going to have to ride that out for most of the rest of the year. I mean, rest of the draft. I also need a tight end. You know, so we've got Austin Hooper, Delanie Walker, who's no thank you, Hockenson. There's also Mr. Andrews down there.
Yeah, if you're not paying attention, he's still low in the queue. So
yeah, so I'm actually gonna, I think I need to get a receiver here, and I'm between DeSean Jackson and Kiki. Both I think are not bad picks at this point, and I'll go upside and I'll go DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd make it back because this is normally the right round for him in the 10th, and this is right around where he's going, so that's why I said he will be in my sleeper section next week. So after DeSean went Jalen Samuels, Emmanuel Sanders, Carlos Hyde, Ito Smith, Deonta Foreman, and this guy might seem early if you're looking at the queue, but word on the street is at worst he's looking at a heavy dose of the Miami running back backfield. This is a guy that I always seem to get and I target. I'm going Kalen Ballage.
Yeah.
So now I've got four running backs. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 wide receivers, a tight end, got my quarterbacks, and I can really pick just what I think and what I want. I do like QT, but I don't necessarily want to have two of the not DeAndre Hopkins wide receivers on my team. Scrolling through the queue here. You know what? Word on the street here in Pittsburgh is that they're expecting big things from him. Really, anybody outside of Juju still should get a ton of targets. I'd like to get some hometown flavor. I'm going to go with Dante Moncrief here.
Lovely pick, Bobby.
As my 11th round pick, we've got, after you make this pick, Dan, we've only got two more.
I was really hoping QT would maybe come back to me. Shucks.
So, yeah, after Moncrief, it was James Washington, Jameis Winston, Jerick McKinnon,
QT,
and Tom Brady. So, Dan, you got sniped there by two picks.
Yeah. You know what?
I mean, you waited on tight end. There are still some awesome tight ends on the.
Yeah, that's the thing. And there's a lot there. My man is still there. So I'm gonna see how long it takes. And you know what? I don't like fun. I'm not thrilled with Miller, but usually, at least in our league of record, it's in these rounds where I like to kind of maybe pick a rookie that I think can go off a little bit. And if Luck's healthy, I think this is a nasty down the field throw for him. So I'm going to actually grab Paris Campbell here as another receiver.
Yeah, you got to see him a fair amount being around the Columbus area, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yep. So right after Paris Campbell went Austin Hooper, Ben Roethlisberger, Devin Funchess, Dak Prescott, Alexander Mattison, started the 12th, Trey Burton, Anthony Miller, Delanie Walker, TJ Hockenson, Devin Singletary, and Dan, you're back up. And this is sometimes where I wish I would have just waited on tight end because I would snipe Mark Andrews right here.
And that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yep. No brainer. Matt Breda, Justin Jackson, Nyheim Hines, Lamar Jackson. So I've got my
Justin
last.
Justin Jackson that late.
Yeah, wow. Right. I know. I was actually going to pick him if he came just to pair him with Eckler, but he did not make it. So I'm going to go with. Let's see here. Just sort of skimming through the queue here. You know what? It sounds like he is having a really good offseason, preseason. Word on the street is strong about Deshaun Hamilton. So I'm going to take a flyer on him and then get a piece of that Baltimore running game. I'm going to take Justice Hill as my last pick. And followed by Deion Lewis, Tyrell Williams, Marquise Brown, Kirk Cousins, Marquise Goodwin, and Dan, your last pick. So,
yeah, I actually like usually taking Deion Lewis late in these drafts because even though we're proud Mark Henry or Derrick Henry owners, Mark Henry.
You taking him to the Hall of Pain, Dan?
We're the world's strongest slam. but I really think Deion Lewis in these late rounds is a super bargain because if you think about it last year, Derrick Henry was going so early. Deion Lewis was kind of an afterthought, but he frankly played way more than Derrick Henry did. So I think that's kind of a neat late round pick just to kind of say, you know, if you're looking for a late round flyer running back who has a chance to kind of actually get a decent amount of playing time. I really like Deion Lewis these late in these drafts. But I think I'm pretty set on running back. I'm going to take a flyer on somebody who's been a actually now I'm kind of torn. You know what?
Hey, in between I've got now. Enough.
So I like Mecole Hardman just because how often are you going to get action from Kansas City? But, you know, honestly, with Tyreek back, I'm not necessarily thinking they're going to have to use a lot of Mecole. I like Tre'Quan Smith because I think he is the number two receiver in
New Orleans.
Frankly, I also am kind of on the Devontae Parker hype train after the preseason, but I think Tre'Quan Smith's the smarter pick at this point.
So Tre'Quan, Darwin Thompson, CJ Anderson, Mitch Trubisky, Greg Olsen, and Josh Allen is the final pick here. So that completes the draft, Dan. I'm going to read through my team. I want you to read through your team, and then we're going to go through maybe pick you regretted, pick you like the most. I mean, obviously your first couple rounds, but let me read my team. So I am Christian McCaffrey, Cam Newton, Kerryon Johnson, Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson, Evan Ingram, Will Fuller currently sits in the flex. I've got Austin Eckler, Kalen Ballage, Dante Moncrief, Deshaun Hamilton, Justice Hill. Dan, why don't you go ahead and recap your team, and then we'll talk about some of the picks there.
We got Carson Wentz, Devonta Freeman, Chris Carson, Devontae Adams, Odell Beckham Jr., Tyler Boyd, Mark Andrews as the tight end, Tevin Coleman, Jordan Howard, Adrian Peterson, DeSean Jackson, Paris Campbell, and Tre'Quan Smith. I like this team. I have to admit it. I actually don't like drafting from the middle of the rounds. But I think if there's going to be a draft where I'm in this year that I'm drafting from the middle, I think I really like that strategy of going elite wide receivers back to back and then trying to fill in running back from there.
Yeah. So Dan, what was your favorite pick outside of like the first three or four?
Outside the first three or four, actually, I think it's Tyler Boyd at the sixth pick. I think there's value there on with the AJ Green injury now. I don't think I had to reach for him. I think that's where he falls typically anyways. And I think he showed last year that he has the chance to go off. They paid him this offseason. So obviously I think they've got a lot of money invested in Tyler Boyd. And now let's kind of see how things play out with AJ Green with the injuries and stuff like that. Because if he comes back and it's not 100% and Tyler Boyd's been setting it on fire, there might not be much room for AJ Green when he gets back. Still think he's elite, still think he's a great talent, but we'll see how the season plays out. So I think that's my favorite pick. Second to that actually is Jordan Howard, too.
Yeah, see, I like DeSean Jackson in the 10th and Mark Andrews in the 12th. I mean, you just sat on tight ends and waited, and that's where it pays off. And you know what the thing is, Dan? Maybe a lot of people didn't have Eric Ebron, and he was a waiver pickup. If Mark Andrews flames out, you could probably find something on the waiver to navigate against. Absolutely. Dan, what was your least favorite pick that we were just like, eh?
Maybe Tevin Coleman. I think maybe I didn't necessarily need to get another running back right there. I could have rounded it out with Kenny Golladay or Cooper Kupp or one of those guys or Mike Williams. So maybe that one was just like a little bit of a reach. The other ones I think are exactly where I would want them to fall.
Exactly.
You know, that's the only one that I maybe reached on a little bit that I kind of like, we'll see.
Yeah, so if I were to go favorite pick outside like the first three or four rounds, I like Evan Engram. Obviously, like I said, I talked about him on the Player Set to Explode episode. Now that you've got Golden Tate suspended four games, more than likely, you've got Shepard with a thumb injury. Whether it's Eli or if they do go to the rookie, to me, he's the ultimate safety valve and has upside to finish top three because he could just be so hyper-targeted. The pick I was like not super excited about, probably Allen Robinson for me could go one of two ways.
Either way,
he could have a bounce back or he could be the dud he was last year. Right. I was hoping that Robbie Anderson would make it to me, but he got picked right in front of me. Maybe
you,
if I would
like a lot of Robbie Anderson this year.
I just like the upside possibility. I mean, down the stretch last year, he was another player. Sorry to keep plugging it, but in the 2019 Players Set to Explode, he was my wide receiver. And down the stretch, when he got into rhythm with Sam Darnold, he was looking like that breakout from two years ago where he just tore the league up at the end of the year. So,
yeah, he's absolutely a legit deep threat. I mean, and now, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they can do with the quarterback who's been there for 2 years. So he's not a rookie. So, you know, they'll open it up a little bit. And now they've got Le'Veon Bell. So there's a real kind of intrigue, at least for me, from a fantasy perspective, on the New York Jets, just to kind of see, like, you've seen flashes of, you know, hot fantasy play from those guys before. Can they put it all together? It's going to be interesting to watch that team this year.
Yeah, so, at that point, too, Dan, I've got possibly 200 catches if the hype breaks for Chris Godwin between him and Allen. I would like to maybe have more of an upside play, but I think that's why I took Will Fuller for that long bomb, if you stay healthy, type of touchdown player. Right. So, but I'd say Allen Robinson was my pick where I was like, I just made it because it was like a dead zone area, I think is what I called it.
Right.
So.
Right.
So yeah, Dan, I really like your team a lot. I love Devontae Adams and pairing him with Odell Beckham. I know in the mock drafts we did earlier today, I was going wide receiver heavy earlier, and I seem to like that team a lot. So it's a methodology that I seem to be leaning towards right now.
I really like that middle of the road seven. If you're sitting there in that 7, 6, 7, 8, grabbing those two elite wide receivers and then trying to fill out from there, you know, because you don't want to reach for a running back at those spots, you know what I mean? So, like, if you look at where the draft kind of played out from there, I mean, I don't think you would say Le'Veon Bell's a reach. I don't think you would say Joe Mixon is, or James Conner, or Todd Gurley, or Dalvin Cook. But, you know, on that slide back, you know, you've got Nick Chubb. Okay, fine. You've got Melvin Gordon. If it wasn't for the, you know, the contract concerns and all the things kind of playing out there, that's probably who I probably would have taken if I'm guaranteed he's playing.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, you've still got, you know, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Keaton Allen, things, guys like that. But, you know, I think Nick Chubb and Damian Williams and even Kerryon or Aaron Jones or Derrick Henry, I think the value is better grabbing wide receiver there as opposed to any of those other running backs. And then they just kind of fill out from there, which is nice.
Right. So, yeah, that's our 12-team half PPR mock draft. And once again, we'll post some of the results out there to get some feedback there. But, Dan, it was good to get another mock draft in. I think next
for
week
sure.
I'd like to look at doing sleepers, breakouts, and bust from each one of us.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a good thing to do, you know, because the following week, Dan, we are getting ready for the League of Record draft weekend, which is basically Christmas in August for us guys. So,
that's true.
So, Dan, anything else before we go ahead and close up shop here?
No, let's roll.
Yeah, so as always, you can interact with us on Twitter and Instagram at NotTakesFF, NotTakesFF, Twitter and Instagram. Email us NotTakesFF@gmail.com. You can visit our podcast homepage, anchor.fm/NotTakesFF. That's ANCHOR.FM/NotTakesFF. You can listen to us on that platform, or you can find links to all 12 other platforms that we're on. We're on all the major ones, Apple, Spotify, Google. But the best thing is, like I said, they provide links there, so that way you can subscribe directly to your platform of choice. If you are listening to us on Apple, take 30 seconds out of your day and give us a 5-star rating and review if you like what we do. It really helps the show, and we really appreciate it. But whatever platform you're on, please subscribe. That way you get the latest episode as they download. Probably the week after our League of Record draft, and we're set to go to our normal 3 episodes a week. So I'm looking forward to jumping up to that. And as always, close it out by giving a shout out to your brother Tom for us.
Yes, a song called Alma, and it's been with us from the jump. We are almost a year into this thing now, and it's been with us throughout the very beginning, whenever you could hear those frogs croaking in the background.
Ribbit, ribbit, Dan.
It's riveting.
I like what you did. You're punny, Dan.
Yeah. Cut it out. Yeah, but
good old Dave Coulier over there.
That's right. It's a song called Alma, and if you like what you hear, check out his SoundCloud. He's That Dude Tom, and he's got a bunch of other stuff that's out there for you to check out. He's got albums and stuff like that, so check it out. Big shout out to Tom for letting us use that. Much appreciated, my man.
Yeah, Dan, so hope you have a good rest of the week and enjoy your weekend. We'll get at it with sleepers, breakouts, and busts, but until next time, I will talk to you later.
Ooh.